pastor for your future reference. With the time left, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. And I'd like to talk to you about four valuable things money can't buy. Four valuable things that money can't buy. Sam just said people think they can buy everything with money. But many times that's true, but not all the time. There are some things we cannot buy with money that are more valuable. Number one tonight in Proverbs 22, if you're still turning there, I'll read right after I pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the Victory Free Will Baptist Church and Pastor Mike and his wife and the church people for opening their doors and pulpits to myself and even allowing Sam some time just to share his burden. I pray that will really be effective in their lives. And I pray you bless the preaching and really more teaching of the Word of God tonight. May it impact our lives. Every time we open the Bible, Lord, we know that there's going to be something good for us. Help me to say what you want me to and nothing more. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. Proverbs 22, verse 1. The first thing that we can't buy with money, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Our reputation is, we just can't buy a good reputation. In fact, you can have a good reputation for many years and do something dumb and stupid and overnight ruin your reputation. You can get it back, but it's going to be hard. And you're going to regret that because people always remember the bad moments. Think of King David, who was a man after God's own heart. Right. Look what he lost his reputation with Bathsheba. And that was the time when kings still went out to war and he didn't stay back. And we know the story in several other times. We think of Moses, who's a friend of God. And he lost his temper and smote that rock twice instead of once to get the water out. Right. And because of that temper tantrum, God did not allow him to go into the promised land. And we could talk about great Bible characters in the Old and New Testament. So if you've got a good reputation, do everything you can to keep it. Yeah. I think of this sermon goes way back with me, and I remember when Lindsay Lohan came out. She's just a sweet little girl in the movie industry, just a young girl, and then she became an adult, and all of a sudden everything she did was turning from decent and good to ugly and vile. And she ruined her reputation with so many Christian parents. I think of Tiger Woods, who I really like. I mean, what a great golf player. And then he had some trouble in his life, and the media came in, and all of a sudden it got really ugly and vile. And a lot of people, had no longer the good thoughts of his reputation because he had ruined it. And I think he's come back somewhat, but does someone ever really come back? I think of Britney Spears, who grew up in church and was a great singer and got corrupted by money and so many problems in her life. And she kind of lost her reputation. I think of Miley Cyrus, who grew up on, I think, the Disney Channel. And when she was a young teenager, all the kids loved her and the parents loved her. And the things she's done since she's become an adult. And I just where did this come from? She's ruined her reputation, too. So we need to be careful about our reputation. Because you can't buy a new one. You can't go to Walmart or the Amazon store and order one up, a new reputation. Who needs to have a good reputation? I'll just give you these verses. In Proverbs 20, verse 11, talks about a child. Even his doings are known, whether his ways be right and whether they be pure. So we need to raise our children with a good reputation. In 1 Samuel 18, 30, it talks about leaders need to have a good reputation. Acts 16, verse 1 and 2, it said young Timothy, a teenager, had good report of those on the outside. So even young people can have a good reputation. You know, the thing is, when guys mess up, they say, oh, boys will be boys. If girls mess up, oh, girls will be girls. Well, I'm not so sure we can let them off the hook that easily. I think we need to warn them, and I'm not the one to hold grudges, and I was a teenager. I know those years well. But young Timothy chose not to be boys will be boys. He had a good report. In Acts 22, verse 12, talked about Ananias had a good report of all the Jews. And it's important for your pastor and myself and even Sam now as a newly called preacher, we need to have a good report with the brethren. Amen. And that's important that we hold to that. And in 1 Timothy 3, in verse 2, and verse 4, and verse 7, it talks about God's ministers having that good report. And I can think of so many people who I've been touched with their lives who had a good report from early on in the preaching ministry up until the years they died. And so many great preachers of yesteryear and yestercentury have gone on to be with the Lord. And I still think highly of them. Their reputation means something to me and helps me when temptation comes my way to resist and say no, as Sam said, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Point two, first of all, good name can't be chosen with great riches. Number two, your good word, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and in verse 23. It says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?
Yeah.
Is your word good as gold? My dad, World War II veteran, he told me even before that, a lot of times men just make contracts by shaking their hands. They just shake hands on it, and that sealed it. Now they want like 100 pages, and I'm sure your pastor knows this, where he works and the type of crime that he tries to uncover and straighten out, that now you got to have everything. They want a picture of your eyeball. They want your thumbprint. They want to draw blood and put it there. I mean, you're not getting away with anything. They want everything about you they can find out before they'll let you sign a contract, because nobody can trust anybody.
Right.
Nobody's word is honorable or good, as it says right here in Proverbs 25, verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then are the hearts of the children of men? God knows our hearts, and he's always probing our hearts. And it's important, if we're going to have that good reputation, as we spoke of under point one, that in point two, our word is honorable. When you give somebody your word, do you stand by it? Now, I just assume when I was pastoring, I always tell people on the way, I'd shake their hand, say, see you tonight. Oh, I'll be here, Pastor. And they never showed up. But some people would say, nope, I'm not coming tonight, Pastor. I'm just letting you know. Their word meant more to me by telling me the truth than the others who didn't want to hurt my feelings. But they wouldn't hurt my feelings if they said they weren't coming. You know, they'd have to have that issue between themselves and the Lord. And so when you say you'll pay your tithes, I mean, you just feel like God touches you. And you say, God, I'm going to start tithing. And then don't. Is your word not dishonorable at that point?
Yeah.
And we have to be very, very careful when we give our word. And if we give our word and can't hold to it, I think it's up to you and I to confront that person and let them know, hey, I told you I'd do this, but I want to know I'm not going to be able to. And I'm just sorry about that. Be honest about that.
Amen.
And be honorable. Your good word can't be bought. Because once you give your word and you break it and break it and break it, there's a pattern there. And who's going to trust you anymore? And trying to get your reputation back by having a good word isn't going to happen. When you're on the job and your boss says, hey, I want this done. Do you get it done? Oh, yeah, boss, I'll get it done. And don't do it. How about not just tithing, but how we go with our money and paying our bills? You know, we take out utilities and we take out this loan and that loan. Are we honorable in paying that money back? Do we show up on time for things? Are we good at being faithful in our attendance and so on and so forth? And we had a Christian school at our church for 30 years. Excuse me. And so many people said, yeah, when they signed up that, yep, we'll pay the tuition on time. And about 30% of the parents didn't pay their tuition on time. And I had to go to the teacher saying, I'm waiting on those families to pay so we can pay you. That doesn't go over too good.
Yeah.
Everybody wants their money on time, don't they? So then we had to be set up ways for parents could get caught up. But make your word honest.
Amen.
That's really important.
Amen.
When we give our word, we mean it. And especially to Christ. That's why our reputation is so important, because God ponders our hearts. And he sees if our reputation is good. And then he knows if our word is good. And again, we all break our word from time to time. But when we do, to whomever that word's been broken to, we need to look them dead in the eyes and tell them we're sorry. And let them know that we want to be a person who can be trusted with their word. Point three. Let's see, Ecclesiastes. You're in Proverbs, just keep going forward, and you're going to run into Ecclesiastes here. I want you to go to chapter 7 in verse 27. Ecclesiastes 7:27. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found. You know, all those girls in that Christian school I had, they grew up, and in their hearts, it seems more often ladies' hearts are touched for the Lord than men's hearts are. And I pastored a church. I bet our ladies outnumbered the men 2 to 1. I heard one pastor speak while I was in Bible college. He was up in northern Indiana. I forget the name of the town. It's a very well-known town. I think it was South Bend, in fact. He started the church there, and he won a lot of adults to the Lord, but he couldn't win any men. He won all the moms and wives and won a lot of teenagers. And finally, he told God after several years, his church was just full of ladies who had soft hearts towards Christ. But the men's hearts were so hard, he couldn't break past it. He said, God, if you can't help me win men, I'm leaving the ministry. And God saw his earnest heart, and God started helping him to win men to Christ. And his church became a strong church of couples, of men and women, and it was a wonderful thing. The preacher here says, among a thousand, I can barely find one. Well, parents would come to me, says, we're raising our girls for Christ, but we look out into all the churches that we're friends with, we don't see a lot of good young boys. What are we going to do? My third point, first one is a good name, second one is a good word, and a third one, you can't buy a good mate. I know they have Russian wives for sale. You know, all these odd places you see, or these wives from a different country, and these wives just pay us $1,000, and we'll get her over to America, and we'll give you a good wife. Hey, money can't buy a good wife. That's not true. And money can't buy a good man either. So my point three is, money can't buy you a good mate. In Proverbs, back to Proverbs, remember, four things money can't buy. Proverbs 12, verse 4. The Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So if a man thinks he can buy a good wife, that's just not true. And if she's not a crown, it says she's maketh ashamed as rottenness in his bones. You know, sometimes our wives, I'm not saying anybody here, but sometimes the wives can do a great disservice to their husband. And on the other hand, the husband can do a great disservice to his wife as well in reverse. In Proverbs 14:1, the Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Those 30 years of pastoring, I just learned a lot by staying in one place and just watching life pass me by. I found out that if there was trouble in the home between the wife and the husband, and the husband didn't want to come to church, that mom, that wife, seemed able to be faithful to God even when her husband had turned on the church. But if it was the other way, if the wife turned on the church and didn't want to come back, boy, it was hard for the husband to come to church and bring the kids. I didn't see that a lot. Now, I saw mom bring the kids when the husband turned away from God, but I didn't see it the other way so much. I tell you, ladies, you have great strength to keep your homes together. Amen. But you can do the opposite, as this foolish woman did, and pluck your own house down. In the same chapter, in verse, let's see, make that chapter 11, verse 29, says he, talking about the man of the home. So we talked about the wife plucking it down. But in verse 29, he, the man that troubleth his own house, shall inherit the wind. You know, there's so many things that men can do and trouble their homes. I was reading, since COVID closed down so many businesses, I was reading about the Cincinnati Jack Casino. They're changing it to the Hard Rock Casino with a giant guitar out front. And they're talking about all the money they lost. But I thought about all the lives that have been smashed and broken, especially men who took their paychecks there weekly and gambled them away and had to show up to their wife and to their children, couldn't pay the bills because that man gambled his check away. He troubled his own house. And I'm sorry about the casino losing money. I hate to see any business or individual be out of a job. But then I think of all the men's lives and all the homes that they helped ruin by opening up a gambling industry such as that. In Proverbs 19, verse 14, 31, 28 tells the same thing. Ephesians 5, 25 and Proverbs 25, 19, it talks about having a good home. But you just can't buy a good mate with that money. In fact, I used to tell people, and I'm sorry I said it this way, forgive me, but I have written down years ago, I told all the teenage girls and the single adult women looking for a man, I said, listen, if you don't date a jerk, you won't marry one. Can I get an amen there? If you don't date a bum, you won't marry one. If you don't date a beater, you won't marry a beater. If you don't date someone who's unsaved, then you won't marry someone who's unsaved. If you don't date a rebel, you won't marry a rebel. You know, there was a time when it seemed like all the girls liked the bad boys. I mean the ones that were shifty and unkempt and couldn't hold a job, it seemed somehow the bad boys with that wicked smile could just grab the heart of those girls. And oh, they wanted the bad boys to like them instead of the good guys out there. Well, I don't know how it works that way, but it just seems to do that. My fourth and final point. Four things money can't buy. Money can't buy a good name, a good word, a good mate. And here, the good trials of your faith. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And when I'm done with this, Pastor, I'll turn it over to you. I don't know how you close your service. COVID, everybody does it a little bit differently. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 7. I'm in 2nd. Here I go. All right. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. And then it goes on from there. Money can't buy the results of the good trials of your faith. It says your trials are more valuable than gold, even though it perisheth in the fire. All the impurities is burned out in that gold, making it a finer vessel. And sometimes the way God makes you and I, his children, a finer vessel is by allowing difficulties to come our way. And I could talk about so many great saints of the past, people that you would know. I was just in a church Sunday, it must have been Sunday morning, and the pastor was talking at the end of the service about Fanny Crosby and all the difficulties she went through being blind and deaf and all the great songs she wrote in our hymn books and all the great books. I mean, there was a gal at a young age who lost her sight and then her hearing. And you would think, well, God, what's going on here? But she turned out to be one of the greatest, most prolific songwriters in the history of the world. I remember when I went to Bible college, I remember the devil didn't want me to become a preacher. He tried to stop me. My first 2 months there at Bible college, my wife and I were on a hayride activity. You know, it was in the fall in Missouri there, and they had one tractor pulling a wagon with about 25 people on it, and then my wife were on a second wagon with about 25 adults, and we had gone up over a hill. You know, tractors don't go very fast. And a dear couple were in their pickup trucks, and they were trying to get home, and it was just getting dusk on a Friday or Saturday, and they came up over that hill going like 67 miles or 70 miles per hour, and they came over and smashed in the back of our hay wagon, and it pushed us into the front of the others, and people were laying everywhere. Oh, I wish I could tell you the scene, how when the ambulances got there, dozens and dozens of people. I wish I could describe the horror. My wife was thrown to the ground. Her pelvis was broken, and among other bones. I was thrown, I don't know why, I was thrown into the grassy berm. I mean, it happened so fast. I was stunned. I didn't know what happened. And so many people were in the hospital. My wife was in the hospital for 7 weeks, laying flat on her back with that broken hip. And when they finally got her up to walk, there was still hay underneath her. Think about that. And everybody says, oh, you've got to take your wife home. We had two kids. You got to take your kids home. You got to get there. You got to take care of your family. We come back to Bible college. And God told me, if you don't stay right here and see this trouble through, this trial through, you'll never come back to Bible college. And God was right. I don't know how I did it. God almost carried me through with my wife in the hospital, two babies at home, a full Bible course I had to take, and a job. I was the youth director at the church, plus the janitor. I don't know how I did it, but I said, God, if you will carry me through this trial, I'll see it through with you. And he did. We had so many people come to our rescue. My father and mother-in-law, they came and got the kids, took them back for like 3 weeks. Then my dad and mom brought them back to Missouri when my wife got out of the hospital. And I kept the job, and I stayed as a youth director, and I did this and that. And I got my studies in. I don't know how, but by the grace of God. And God taught me what it is to weather the storm. I am so glad I stayed at Bible college. If I hadn't, I would have come back to Columbus. I would have got a job as a teacher. And the ministry that just had started would have been over. I heard later on, and I'm done here, Pastor. I don't know what your trial is that you may have gone through, are going through. And we don't know what's down the road, folks. We have no idea what's around the next corner we're going to have to go through. But someone once told me, he was at an ordination. This is a minister. And he was asked a question by the pastor to be that he's ordaining. And he looked up to this pastor. He says, Pastor Bunch, what wisdom do you have for me? What counsel can you give me about being a good minister? And Dallas Bunch says, it's all about quitting. He says, if you can quit, you will quit. He says, but if you can't quit, you will never quit. And I found out that lesson in Springfield, Missouri, that I could not quit the ministry. And as a young preacher boy in my 20s, next week I'm going to be, you're not going to believe this, 69. Wow. How can that be? Where did the years go? But you see, because I didn't quit back then, I didn't quit when I was pastoring. I didn't quit when I'm driving for the track league and just hating the travel part of it. I will not quit. Amen. Therefore, I cannot quit. Heavenly Father talked about four good and wonderful things money can't buy. May we put great value on those things. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.